Well, we thank you guys so much for being here this evening. It's such a huge blessing, and we just hope that we can be a blessing to you. But just go ahead and sit back, relax, and we'll present to you the Christmas musical cantata called The Richest Family in Town.
Yeah. It's Christmas time again, and so many memories come flooding back. Problem is, when you get to be my age, those memories kind of begin to all run together. But there's one Christmas I'll never forget. Well, let's see now. It would have been somewhere around 1949. Yeah, that's it. Christmas, 1949 in Caldwell, New Jersey. My father had died 2 years before, and there was just me, Mom, and my two sisters. We lived in a tiny apartment not too far from the local diner where Mom worked as a waitress. Things were a whole lot different back then. Gas was only 20 cents a gallon. A postage stamp was 3 cents. And a loaf of bread was a whopping 14 cents. 2 quarters would pay for dinner at a good restaurant, and many workers made less than a dollar an hour.
Hurry up, kids. Time to eat. We're going to be late for church.
What's for supper, Mom?
I'm starved.
Peanut butter sandwiches and beans.
Peanut butter again? I wish I lived next door with Johnny. Well, last night he got 2 whole hamburgers for supper.
That sounds so good. Mom, my hair looks awful.
Like usual.
Just sit down and eat, dear. I'll help you after supper.
Can I have a glass of real milk, please?
I'm sorry, Sammy. That milk is for something special. Just go ahead, grab some canned milk out of the cupboard and mix it with water in the pitcher over there. It's just as good.
Just as good? You're right, Mother. I can hardly tell the difference anymore.
You could if you were a normal Becky.
My name is Rebecca, little brother.
Rebecca? Since when?
Since I've grown up. And it's time for you to respect your elders, Pipsqueak.
Rebecca?
Okay, that's enough. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this food, but most of all, thank you for our salvation. Now please help all of us to be kind to each other as we eat this delicious supper. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Christmas was always a pretty sparse affair at our house, but Mom did her best. Each one of us prized the small gifts that she put underneath the tree. Usually we'd get a tangerine, some hard candy, and maybe a toy from the Salvation Army. We didn't have much. Of course, neither did anybody else we knew. But we did have the Lord, and you know what we found out? The Lord is good to every one of his children.
He owns all our treasures, to him they all belong. He made
Much of our lives revolved around that little church four blocks north of our apartment. We loved it there. The music, the preaching, the wonderful people. We used to live for Sundays and Wednesday nights. If the doors were open, wild horses couldn't keep us away. I especially remember Pastor Thomas. He was my hero.
The Lord sure has been mighty good to our little church this year, hasn't he? I know we may not have all the things that we'd like to have, but we have great riches through Jesus Christ. While in just the last 6 months, we've seen three families reach for the Lord. And did you know the average person seated here is 90% wealthier than the rest of the world? Yes, we're rich in a lot of ways. But most of all, let's be thankful for the greatest gift that was given nearly 2,000 years ago. Heaven's greatest treasure was sent to earth, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I wanted to do something a little unusual this year. Let's plan on taking a sacrificial offering for a really needy family here in Caldwell. I've contacted the folks down at the Salvation Army, and they're helping me locate a family that's really struggling. Since Christmas falls on a Sunday this year, we'll take up a special offering on Christmas morning, 4 weeks from today, and I'll deliver it on Christmas afternoon. Now, let's all try to figure out what we can live without for the next 4 weeks so that we can show the love of Christ to someone in real need. Perhaps we may even reach them with the gospel.
Thank you.
Oh, Mom, isn't it exciting?
Exciting?
Yeah, about raising money for the poorest family in town.
Oh, sure, that's a very good idea.
I've been such a dummy, complaining all the time. Why, there's lots of people worse off than us.
That's right, Sammy, we do have much to be thankful for.
How much are we gonna give in the offering, Mom?
Well, I'm sure we could give something.
Something? Listen, you two, money just doesn't grow on trees.
Kids, I'd love to help with that offering, but I really don't have enough money to even buy presents for all of you.
Don't worry about us, Mom. We don't want any presents.
Who doesn't?
We don't. We'd much rather see that poor family saved, wouldn't we, Becky?
Well, I suppose that would be nice.
Maybe I could find some extra work somewhere.
Mom, you already work way too hard. We'll take care of this.
And what can you do, baby brother?
Well, being the man of the family, I've got plans.
What kind of plans?
On the way home from church, I noticed quite a few yards still covered with leaves. And it got me thinking, shouldn't they be raked up before the snow comes?
Well, I suppose so.
Has anybody even asked you?
They don't need to. I'll just go around, rake them all up, then ask for donations.
That's not a bad idea.
Why, thank you, Miss Rebecca.
Mom, what if we use margarine instead of butter for the next 4 weeks?
And water instead of milk.
That would save a little, I suppose, if you kids don't mind.
We could all have cornflakes for supper every night.
With water on them.
Yuck!
Come on, Becky, you need to lose a few pounds anyway.
I'd like to lose a few pounds, and his name is Sammy.
Come on, Becky, please.
What do you think, Becky?
Well, I could probably do some extra babysitting.
And I can help you, Becky.
I knew you'd come through, big sister.
Come to think of it, I heard that Miss Brooks hasn't been able to clean her house since she had her fall a couple weeks ago.
I bet she'd be glad to have my help, Mom.
She just might, Katie.
And she'd probably pay you, too.
Mom, do you remember that delicious fudge you used to make?
I sure do. It was my grandmother's recipe.
Oh, Mom, that stuff was delicious.
Why don't you make it anymore, Mom?
Well, it's awfully expensive with all that butter and all that chocolate.
Well, why don't we see if Mr. Harris down at the AMP would give us enough credit to buy the ingredients? We can sell the fudge door to door and pay him back in no time.
That's a great idea.
I can help too.
I volunteer to lick the pan, sir.
That just might work.
We're gonna make lots of money, Mom. Just wait and see.
Ooh, that needy family is going to have a Christmas they'll never forget.
We'll give them tons of money. This is going to be the greatest Christmas of all.
Thank you.
As the days passed by, our excitement grew. We lived on beans, cornflakes, peanut butter, and bologna, but we loved it. We were on a mission, and no sacrifice was too great.
Let's get down the cookie jar and see how much money we've made so far.
You kids, you're gonna wear that money out if you keep counting it so much.
I've got some more, Mom. Mr. Miller gave me a whole $1, William, for raking his lawn this afternoon.
Why are you calling it a $1, William?
Because I'm not familiar enough with it to call it a $1, Bill.
Sammy, I'm gonna burn that joke book of yours.
Look at this. Miss Brooks gave me 50 cents for helping clean her house.
That's wonderful, kids. What about you, Becky?
Oh, you probably wouldn't be interested.
Come on, Becky. Did you get paid today?
Well, I can't seem to remember.
Becky.
Oh, yes. Now I recall. Today, Mrs. Smith paid me for all that babysitting I did last week. What do you think of this? One Lincoln and three Georges.
$8.
Oh, Becky, she must really appreciate you.
Oh, it's nothing for someone as mature as I am.
I can't believe it. $8.
Becky, I take back all the mean things I've ever said about you.
Oh, you haven't even heard the best part yet.
There's more?
I gave Mrs. Smith a taste of your fudge, Mom, and she asked if you would make 2 batches for her garden club party tomorrow night.
But I sold the last piece this afternoon.
Is she gonna pay us?
You had better believe it. She said she'd give us $5 if I delivered it by supper tomorrow.
$5?
But I haven't got the time, Becky. I've got to be to work in 30 minutes.
Mom, don't you worry. I'll handle everything. The best cooks in the world are men, you know.
Oh, brother.
Now I'll just turn the stove on first.
Sammy, that's the clock.
Yeah, I knew that, but I need a little adjustment. Everyone knows this is stove control over here.
And sweetie, that would be the oven.
Mom, I've got an idea. Why don't you explain exactly how to make the fudge to all of us, and then Katie and I can be Sammy's helpers. Is that all right, Sammy?
Well, okay. I guess I could let you do some of the easy stuff, like washing dishes and cleaning up.
Oh, you're too kind, Your Majesty.
What are we gonna call it?
Call what?
The fudge.
How about something really novel, like fudge? It's worked so far.
No, that's too plain. If this stuff is really gonna go, it's gotta sound special.
Mom, didn't you say it was your grandma's recipe?
That's right, Katie.
Maybe we could call it Grandma's Fudge.
That's better, but still needs more pizzazz.
This is ridiculous.
How about Grandma's Famous Fudge?
Now you're talking, Katie. You're a marketing genius.
And so it was born, Grandma's Famous Fudge. Mom gave us a 20-minute lesson in fudge making and then hurried out the door to work. By the time she returned home, we had burnt fudge all over the kitchen. And we kids were all mad at each other. But with Mom's help, before the night was over, we had 2 perfect batches of Grandma's Famous Fudge. First thing the next morning, I proudly delivered our pride and joy to Mrs. Smith. Not only did Mrs. Smith love our fudge, but every woman in her garden club raved about it, too. Before we knew it, we had orders coming out our ears. It seemed like every one of those women had a Christmas party that wouldn't be complete without Grandma's Famous Fudge. We were having the time of our lives working around the clock. That needy family wasn't going to be poor anymore. The wealth of 1,000 kingdoms was piling up in our cookie jar.
Thank you.
Thanks for supper, Mom. That was delicious.
You're welcome, Sammy. I worked long and hard on those cornflakes.
They really were good, Mom.
I can't believe I let you kids talk me into giving you cornflakes for supper instead of meatloaf on Christmas Eve.
It's okay, Mom. It's our last chance to save money for the offering tomorrow.
I know, but you kids deserve something special once in a while.
Dinner was very special, Mom. I can't remember the last time I had real milk on my cereal. Thank you.
You kids beat all. I am so proud of you.
I'm so excited. I don't know if I can sleep tonight or not.
Let's count our money again.
I'll get the cookie jar. It's empty.
Empty?
The money's gone?
I knew this would happen. Call the police.
Call the army.
Wait, settle down.
Settle down, but we've been robbed.
I know. Who took the money?
Who? Let me at him.
I took it.
You?
Yes. I stopped at the bank this afternoon and got some larger bills for all of that change.
Oh, Mom, don't scare us like that.
I almost had a heart attack.
I did have a heart attack.
I'm so sorry, Sammy. I hope there's no permanent damage.
Get up off the floor, Sammy, before I really give you some permanent damage.
You need a sense of humor, Becky.
And you just need some sense.
Where's the money, Mom?
It's right here in my purse. $122 of it.
Mom, is that what I think it is?
$100 bill.
Whoa, a brand new $100 bill. It doesn't look real.
It's real, all right.
Can I hold it, Mom?
Sure, Sammy, here.
I feel like a millionaire.
Let me hold it, Sammy.
Hold your horses, Katie. Just let me look at it in a minute. That new family is really gonna faint when they see this.
Ooh, I can't wait till the pastor takes the offering tomorrow morning.
Kids, are you sure you want to give all of this money in the offering?
Of course, Mom.
That's what we've planned all along.
I know. I just want to be sure that this is really what you want to do.
Why wouldn't we?
I feel like a terrible mother. It's Christmas and none of you has any presents, not even one.
We know that, Mom. That was the plan.
I know, but I still feel guilty. Your father would have made sure you at least got something. It wouldn't hurt to take a little bit of the money and get something for you kids down at the Salvation Army.
We can't do that.
What about your shoes, Sammy? Those holes are not getting any smaller.
I can just put new pieces of cardboard in them like I always do. They're fine.
And Becky, you can't even button your coat when it's cold outside.
I always get too hot when it's buttoned anyway.
And Katie, wouldn't you like a new book?
I suppose so. But not as nearly as much as I'd like to help that poor family. I just know they're gonna get saved.
I've gotta hand it to you kids. Your father would be so proud.
Mom, can I put this $100 bill in the offering plate tomorrow?
I don't know, Sammy. You better ask your sisters.
It's fine with me.
Becky?
I guess it'd be okay.
All right.
But how are we gonna divide up the rest?
Let's see. Mom, you ought to put in the $20, and Becky, each of us can put in $1.
Just $1?
Kids, it doesn't matter who puts the money in the offering. You all have worked very hard, and the Lord is going to reward each one of you.
I didn't sleep a wink that night. We got to church early Christmas morning and sat right down front so we could be the first ones to give. Some of the other kids looked at us rather strangely since we were all wearing the same old clothes we wore all year long, but I didn't care. I had more money in my hand than they had ever dreamed about. The service seemed to drag on forever. Finally, the big moment arrived. As long as I live, I'll never forget the thrill of dropping that $100 bill into that offering plate. My eyes filled with tears. I was the happiest, richest kid on earth. Just like the wise men, I had given my very best to the Lord.
What's for a Christmas dinner, Mom?
You'll never believe it. The A&P had a Christmas special yesterday, and guess what was on sale?
What?
A giant box of cornflakes.
Cornflakes.
Yes, Sammy, and there was also another special buy on oatmeal.
Oh, goody, my favorite.
Hey, maybe we could raise money for another needy family and give it to them on New Year's.
Sure, people will need fudge for their New Year's party, won't they?
Oh, please, no more fudge.
Sorry, kids, nobody's making any fudge today.
Thank goodness.
Why not, Mom?
Because I'm using the oven.
For cornflakes?
Sorry, Sammy, I'm afraid the cornflakes will have to wait. Yesterday, I also found something else on special.
What, Mom?
A half-priced turkey!
Oh, turkey sounds so delicious.
How about cranberry sauce?
And mashed potatoes.
And dressing.
And all the trimmings. We're gonna eat like the richest folks in town today.
I wonder if Pastor Thomas has seen that poor family yet.
That's right. He could be giving them our money right now.
Maybe Pastor's telling them how to get saved at this very moment.
Mom, we'd better hurry up and pray that God will work in their hearts.
That's a good idea, Sammy. You go ahead and lead us.
Dear Jesus, you have given us so much. Thank you for the best Christmas ever. I especially pray for Pastor Thomas as he delivers the money to those poor people. Lord, give him just the right words to say so that they'll get saved and...
Who could that be?
I'll get it. Pastor Thomas, come on in. We were just praying for you. Have you delivered the offering yet?
Well, not quite yet. I talked with the folks down at the Salvation Army, and then I met with the deacons, and the vote was unanimous.
What vote? What are you talking about?
You see, the deacons and the Ladies Missionary Society all agreed on it.
Agreed on what?
That the special church offering should be given to you and your family.
To us? But Pastor...
No, it's settled. Here, God bless you and have a Merry Christmas.
Mom, who was it? What's wrong? Who's at the door?
It was Pastor Thomas.
Pastor Thomas? What'd he say? Did he deliver the money yet?
Did the needy family get saved?
He gave this to me.
What is it?
It's the offering, honey. The church decided to give it to us.
But it was supposed to go to a poor family.
The poorest family in town.
How can that be us?
We're not poor.
Well, the whole church says we are.
I just want to cry. What are my friends going to say?
Great. This Mara is a millionaire and I'm a beggar. Merry Christmas.
Bah humbug. Why don't we go out on the street corner and beg for food like the rest of the bums?
Kids, the Lord is in control of this. It's not as bad as it seems.
No, it's worse. I'm never going to show my face in that church again.
Becky, don't you talk like that. Remember when Jesus came to earth, he was humiliated.
But I don't want to be humiliated, and I ain't touching that money.
What are we going to do with it, Mom?
I don't know, Sammy. Why don't we ask God to show us?
Shepherd, please.
Even though we prayed that day, we still felt terrible. To make matters worse, I counted the money and it came to $141. We had given all of it except for $19. As far as I was concerned, I never wanted to set foot in that church again. But the next Sunday was New Year's Day, and Mom forced us to go, much to her regret.
I'm never going back to that dumb church again.
Oh, you don't need to worry about that, Slugger. They'll lock the doors if they see you coming again.
Sammy, why did you hit David?
Because he called me a beggar.
So?
So I showed him who the real beggar was.
And what is that supposed to mean?
When I got through beating him, he was down on his knees begging for mercy.
Pastor Thomas was really upset. He told me David's nose was bleeding everywhere.
It was really neat, Mom. There was blood all over the carpet.
Great. My brother's not only a beggar, he's a juvenile delinquent.
Kids, I'm having a hard time with this as well, but we've got to hang on to the truth. In Christ, we are rich, not poor. We are rich.
Why don't you tell the church that, Mom?
Sammy, you be quiet. We are not beggars, no matter what anybody says.
Sorry, Mom.
If only your father were here, he'd know what to do.
We'll be fine, Mom. Don't cry.
Please. Just don't make us go back to that church.
Lord, please help me get through this. What am I supposed to do? Just what am I going to do?
Upon a silent night, Jesus came to earth. Angels watched for a wondrous sight, singing of his birth. But one day the singing stopped. All was pain and loss when the wicked took my Lord and nailed him to a cross. Lead me to the cross, Lord Jesus. Lead me to a place of death. Lead me in the way of suffering. Let me draw my final breath. Not my will, but thine, dear Father, knowing you is worth the cost. Let me feel your resurrection power. Lead me to the cross. Every good and perfect gift falleth from above, given from my Father's hand, guided by his love. Still, if I desire the best, Jesus has for me. Daily I must take my cross and go to Calvary. Lead me to the cross, Lord Jesus. Lead me to a place of death. Lead me in the way of suffering. Let me draw my final breath. Not my will, but thine, dear Father, knowing you is worth the cost. Let me feel your resurrection power. Lead me to the cross. Lead me to the cross. Lead me to the cross.
following week was awfully difficult. Although we three kids tried to be strong, Mom still cried a lot. We had not seen her so low since Dad's funeral. I was mad at everybody, but I was especially mad at God. Why was he allowing my mom to suffer so much? The following Sunday, Mom decided we'd try to go to church one more time, and none of us was about to tell her no. There was a special speaker at church that Sunday named Dallas Washer, who was a missionary from Togo, West Africa. His exciting stories about serving the Lord in a very difficult place helped us to forget about all our own problems, at least for a little while.
The rainforests of Africa. Sunday morning services are a lot different than they are here. For instance, just 2 months ago, I was preaching in the village of Koje when it started pouring rain. Since our church has a grass roof, it wasn't long before leaks started appearing here and there, and people began shifting about to keep from getting wet. Things really got exciting when a large poisonous snake fell from the ceiling and everybody started jumping out the windows. Right then and there, I decided that the time had come to put a metal roof on our church in Koje. This project will cost about $150. That's a gigantic sum for those poverty-stricken Africans. This morning, perhaps the Lord will burden your heart to give toward this project. The need is great, but our God is able.
Thank you, Brother Washer. Before we close the service, I would like to take a special offering for Brother Washer. Now, I know that the weekend after Christmas is not the ideal time to take up an offering, but our God is great. And these fellow Christians in Africa really need help. Let's all try to give something.
I think the idea hit all of us at the same time. We all looked at Mom, who was smiling for the first time since Christmas. As soon as the service was over, we got outside and we started talking a mile a minute.
Sammy, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I am if you're thinking what I'm thinking.
I think we're all thinking the same thing.
Will somebody please say it? We need to give our money to the missionary.
How much do you kids want to give?
All of it, of course. There's not any question.
Even that might not be enough. But how are we going to give it to him? He's leaving town this afternoon.
Let's take it to the Miller's house.
Why would we take it there?
That's where he spent the night. He's not leaving till after lunch.
How do you know that, Sammy?
Simple. I asked the pastor.
You're a genius, little brother.
Why, thank you, Your Highness.
We quickly walked the rest of the way home. I grabbed the money envelope that had been sitting untouched on the kitchen table for 2 weeks. We immediately set out again. It was a long walk, but we finally got to the Miller's house just as Mr. Washer was putting a suitcase in the car.
Sir, my family and I would like to have a talk with you.
With me? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't live here. I'm just visiting in the area.
We know that, sir, but we still need your help.
Well, I haven't got much money, but I'll do what I can.
Mister, we don't want your money. We were just wondering if you could help us get rid of some money. Here in this envelope.
Say, are you kids in some kind of trouble?
We sure are.
We already tried to get rid of it once, but it didn't work.
Well, now, where did this money come from?
We've gotten it from all over town. And we've had to do all kinds of things to get it, too.
Yeah, sometimes we had to stop people right on the street.
Oh, really?
You kids set a mean pace. Did you give Mr. Washer the money yet?
We're trying, Mom.
How did you know my name, ma'am?
Why, we heard you in church this morning.
You were great, Mr. Washer.
Yeah, especially that part about the big snake.
Oh, now this is making sense.
How much did you get in the offering this morning?
Sammy!
Well, that's all right, ma'am. I don't mind. We got about $11, son.
That's all?
Every little bit helps. In God's time, He'll give us that new roof. You'll see.
Well, we don't want you to have to wait too long.
Will you take our envelope now and add it to the offering? We didn't have it with us this morning.
Is that all right with you, ma'am?
They earned it, Mr. Washer, and they want you to have it.
Yeah, so you can reach lots of people for Jesus.
Is this the money that you need for your family?
Mister, don't worry about us. We're really, really rich. There's lots more where that came from.
Sammy!
It's true, Mom. The Lord gave us this money, and He's got lots more.
He sure does, son. What are your names?
Oh, we'd rather not say. Please don't tell anybody who gave you this.
Just remember us as the richest family in town.
I understand. Thank you all very much.
Hey, Sammy. What's that in your hand?
Oh, I almost forgot. It's for Mr. Washer to take with him to Africa.
What is it?
It's, well, it used to be fudge.
We were a different family after that. I think we floated all the way home, singing and laughing and thanking the Lord for His goodness. Much to our surprise, we began getting more requests for Grandma's famous fudge. And before long, we had quite a little family business going. Then one Sunday night, several months later, we got another surprise.
Tonight, for our missionary report, I would like to read a letter I received just on Friday. Dear friends, I've enclosed a picture of our church in Kojay. Thanks to you, we not only have a brand new snake-proof metal roof, we had our first service in our new building last Sunday. Even though it was raining, 8 people got saved at the end of the service. Let me add a special word of thanks to one of the families who went the extra mile to help with this project. They only identified themselves as the richest family in town. Thank you, folks. I appreciate your unusual sacrifice. Yours for souls, Dallas Washer. Well, perhaps Brother Washer got us mixed up with one of the other sporting churches. I want to thank all of you who gave towards that offering.
Ever since that night, years ago, I've realized that I'm a member of the wealthiest family in the universe. My father owns it all. Oh, we still have a little bit of hard times, but plenty of them, but the Lord always provides. I even made it through 4 years of Bible college, and you'll never guess who paved the way. Grandma, or at least Grandma's famous fudge. And today I'm president of Grandma's famous fudge factory. Over the years, I suppose we've made a lot of money, but we never held on to much of it. However, we built several churches and supported hundreds of missionaries around the world. You see, it never made much sense to keep a bunch of money down here when you could send it on up there. Now, think about it. 1,000 years from now, it's not going to matter a hill of beans on what kind of clothes I'm wearing or how much money I've got in the bank. All that's going to matter is my relationship with Jesus Christ, the greatest treasure of all.
Oh, Let's stand with our heads bowed for a moment, please. We're going to have a special, and just you listen to the words. This is our invitation to you tonight. You know, God looks at riches different than we look at them down here, don't he? I mean, it's a big difference the way he sees them. What is the true riches? What makes us rich is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and not what we can accumulate here. He said, a man's life doth not consist out of the abundance of the things which he possesses. And then he follows that with, in Luke chapter 12, with the story of the rich man. The rich man that went to bed that night talking about how his crops had produced and what was he going to do. He was going to tear down his old barns and build bigger barns. And he spoke to his soul that night. He said, soul, take your ease. You've got many goods laid up. And the Lord spoke back and said, thou fool. Your soul is required tonight, and then whose shall all these things be? All these things you're going to leave. I ask you tonight, folks, the message of the play and the presentation of the cantata, let's look at our hearts. Are we rich toward God? Or does our riches consist of what we're going to leave behind or what we've sent on ahead? Great message for us tonight. Would you look deep in your heart and say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one of the true riches. It's not these things I'm going to leave that I'm trusting. I'm trusting him. Tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we give you an invitation to come and receive him. There's people down here that'll go to the altar with you and pray and show you how you can pillow your head tonight, knowing if the Lord required your soul, you'd be rich toward him because Jesus is your Savior. I'm going to ask one of the young ladies to sing an invitation song. And as she sings, I'll stand here. If you'll come receive Christ tonight, would you come and tell me about it right now? Would you come as she sings? Are you rich toward God or just toward the things you've accumulated here? I told the church, I think last Sunday, a doctor I knew over here in the Winter Haven area several years back. He said, when somebody got in an accident, got killed, people would ask him a dumb question. They would say, just how bad did they get killed? He'd say, just bad enough. They're dead. Reminds me of the lawyer that also said he was handling the affairs for a rich family, far as the world knew they were rich. And he said after they passed away, people would ask him a dumb question. They'd say, just how much did they leave? He said, I'd always tell them all of it. All of it. We're going to leave it all, but what are we sending on ahead? What will be waiting on us above? That's the important thing. To be rich under the Lord is the important thing. He emptied heaven of its riches to give his only begotten son, as the song was just saying, lead me to the cross. That's where he went for you and I, to die for our sins, that we could go to heaven one day, be rich under God. I appreciate the message tonight. I appreciate the choir, Brother Hector, and all the folks that worked hard and practiced, and they did it all so we'd get a message out. Most important message in the world. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? I hope you're looking at the true riches tonight. You know the true riches in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may you add your blessing. Thank you for the work. Thank you for the people that brought the message tonight, for speaking to our hearts. Help us truly, Father, to evaluate, are we rich toward you? I pray if there's one here without Jesus tonight, before they even would leave the building, they'd come to some of us and say, can you show me how to be rich unto the Lord? Let us have a chance to tell them about Jesus. In his name we ask it. Amen.